I wanted to start my message off today by talking a little bit about our trip. We traveled out to the West Coast, where we did a road trip from Washington State. We flew into Seattle, and we rented a van. It was a camper van, and we drove all the way from Seattle up into Canada. We visited two national parks in the United States. We visited two national parks in Canada. The two in the United States was the Olympic National Park and North Cascades, and the two in Canada were Banff and Jasper National Park. And so for 12 whole days, Ariana and I lived out of this van. We had no Wi-Fi for large portions of the trip, which was actually really nice. There's no signal coming into our phone. And maybe a not so nice part was we had no personal shower and we had no bathroom for all 12 of those days. So lots of stops at Starbucks on the side of the road and finding different campsites that we could hopefully find a place to shower after doing hikes for miles on the days. But despite the lack of all of these amenities, all these natural things that you have when you're at home, I would say it was one of the best trips of my entire life that I've ever been on. The national parks that we went to in Canada were Banff and Jasper, as I mentioned earlier, which are right in the middle of the Canadian Rocky Mountains. And so you're driving through these roads, and they are filled with some of the most beautiful mountains that I've ever seen. And they are literally everywhere. And so we did a lot of these hikes and all the way up to these beautiful mountaintops and these viewpoints. And we drove along the Icefields Parkway, which is this road. Some people consider it a top 10 most beautiful roads in the world. And it just has these amazing waterfalls and glaciers and these mountain pull-offs where you just drive over to the side and you're just like, wow. And we would get to these attractions. They have like signs like, hey, you could go to Peyto Lake here. And you would just pull off. And you would go see these attractions, and you would just sit there and stare at them, just trying to just take it all in, take in all of this beauty. And I was telling Luis when he came in, he asked if we took pictures, and we took like 2,000 pictures. It was like, how can I capture how beautiful this is? And so you try your best to like stare so hard at this thing. And you're taking all these pictures, hoping that the pictures that you bring home will somewhat capture that beauty. And as we were sitting there one of the days, it was earlier on in the trip, Ariana said something like this. She said, I'm staring so hard to try to take this view with me. Which kind of struck this chord within me because it made me think that I felt the same exact way. It was like if I just looked hard enough, if I just look hard enough, maybe I can sear this image into my brain. But of course, no matter how long we tried to stare, we couldn't take that mountain or that waterfall or that glacier with us. Sooner or later, we had to leave. We could only stare at that for so long, you know? And at first, I was like, what scripture does this go with in my head? And the first one that came to my mind was Ecclesiastes 1:9. It's a theme throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. You don't have to turn there. But it's vanity, vanity. All is vanity in grasping for the wind. Because each time we had seen this beautiful sight and this natural setting, it was a reminder that the world that we live in is temporary. And everything physical in it is fleeing. But despite the fact that this scripture was the first thing that came to my mind, it didn't feel like the right scripture to describe the significance behind experiencing this beautiful place. Because here I am, staring at these beautiful mountains that are, yes, temporary, wanting to never leave. And I had to ask myself, is it right for me to feel this way about a physical setting? There was just this feeling of awe because while at the same time there's so much beauty, you're in the face of something that just feels so much bigger than my puny little self. It's hard to even comprehend. And when I thought about it, and I thought harder about it, it was a different scripture that seemed to be more applicable to the situation. It felt more appropriate to how it felt as we were stopping at all of these beautiful places. But before we turn to that scripture, throughout our trip, Ariana, we did something like 30 miles of hikes. And you're just going up these mountains, and you stop at one point, you look to the side, and you're just like, what am I doing here? Why am I allowed to be here? But throughout our trip, Ariana and I kept repeating this line to ourselves. It's from one of her favorite books. She made me watch the movie. It's like 8 hours. It's like a TV show. It's from Pride and Prejudice. The quote says this. It says, "What are men to rocks and mountains?" What are men to rocks and mountains? And it was such a powerful question because in the face of these mountains and all of their grandeur and breathtaking beauty, you realize just how physically insignificant you really are. I would take these videos. We'd be up on this mountain, we'd be doing a hike, and I would take these videos, and it would be like normal lens trying to take in the scenery, and then I would zoom. And I would zoom in on these tiny little dots that looked like tiny little dots, and you would get all the way in, and you'd realize, that's a person. And you would, and then I would zoom back out so that you can see just how big and how grandiose these mountains were. And the camera never did it justice, right? You take those pictures, trying to take it home with you, and we go home like, man, I thought I took a better picture of that. I thought I did a better job of capturing that. But the significance behind that question is, what are men to rocks and mountains, is that it leads to a bigger question. What are men to God? If these rocks and mountains make us feel so puny about, what about the being that created them? What does that make us feel like? Which is a question that leads me to that main scripture that I feel like really, really hit the nail on the head that I'd like to focus on today. It comes in Psalm 8, if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 8, one of the most famous scriptures. It's, I think, one of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 8, we're going to start in verse 1 because it leads up to the verse that it's just such a beautiful section of scripture. Psalm 8, verse 1, it says this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And then here it is. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the sons of man that you visit him? And in my opinion, that's one of the best lines in the entire Bible. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And it's such a powerful scripture because David is sitting there looking up at this night sky with no light pollution and seeing the countless stars and realizing on a physical level just how insignificant he is by comparison. But in complete contrast to this feeling of insignificance that the stars create, there's this feeling of extreme significance behind the fact that the creator of all of those stars knows who David is and cares about his life. And that's the spirit behind what we as humans feel when we experience God's creation. And it's almost impossible to fathom. The creator of these amazing, breathtaking things knows who we are. Knows who we are. And even more than that, he wants us to be a part of his family. And part of the message that I wanted to bring forth today is that when we have these glimpses into the beauty of God and the way that David did, hopefully it will make us think about God and all of his power. But at the same time, hopefully it makes us think of his amazing kingdom that we have to look forward to. A kingdom that isn't fleeting. A kingdom that we will forever live in. Because that's exactly what David thought of. Look up, if you're still in Psalm 8, look at what the rest of Psalm 8 says. He says, "For you have made man a little bit lower than angels." But he says, "You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, and the fish of the seas that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." It says God will crown us with glory and dominion over all creation. He's given us this beautiful creation, not only so we can enjoy its wonders, but also because he wants us to rule over it eventually. But what's my ultimate point? Well, although I'm using this trip that we went on as a framework to try to communicate the point, the essence is God gave us these moments in time or experiences where we get glimpses into who he is and how big and grandiose he is. In this case, on this trip, it was mountains for us. In Psalm 8, it was stars for David. But the thing is, experiencing God isn't bound by those natural experiences. You don't have to travel for 12 days in a stinky van to experience the beauty of God. Because God is working in our lives in so many different ways. Whether it be an amazing conversation you have with someone where you feel inspired to be better. Whether it be the love you feel from the congregation when we all get together. Or it is a stressful situation that you see no way out of, but God strengthens you to make it bearable, to even works it out for you. God works in so many ways, in so many amazing ways that help us give a glimpse into who he is. But the reality is, though, that our lives aren't always these amazing moments. We live in a broken world where our lives aren't perfect. And often we get so caught up in the chaos and madness of life that it can feel like God is so far away from us. But that's exactly when we need to remember these amazing moments or experiences. We need to remember that God is so much bigger than we can even imagine. God is so much more loving and compassionate than we could even imagine. And that God loves us more than we can even imagine. We can never forget that. If God can create all of these amazing things that we get to experience in our lives, things that make us feel physically insignificant, then ultimately seeing God's power and majesty in so many different ways should help us to build our faith for when we go through those difficult times. We should never forget to take a step back and remember those moments when God's glory shined through in our lives. And let us continue to ask ourselves, what is man that you are mindful of me?